You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
All right, how's everybody doing? It's your boy Casey. This is Those Casual Reds show. I'm joined by Sean, my man Cheese. I'm pretty sure Mikey's going to come in later, hopefully. And we're going to get into it. This is another one of Those Casual Reds show brought to you by Balorin Manukian. And Shack Gideon BMS is what they call one of the finest law firms in Southern California. 818-747-444-444, located in the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks, California. Wonderful staff, high success rate. Call in and get their free consultation. They'll walk you through everything. They'll Uber you to the place, Uber you home. One of the best people, one of the greatest organizations have been around. I trust them with my sister, my roommate, this gal over here, and it's all love. They're the reason why we do this show, and we're going to give it to you real. So, gentlemen, it's three of us here today. Sean, salute.
Big three.
My brother.
Big three.
Big tree. That's what them call us, the big tree. The big tree. Yeah. Kobe, Shaq, and... Now, that's the big two.
Don't throw LeBron in there.
Let's not divert from the thing. I cannot believe Mikey is not here because I was waiting to hear about his South Carolina experience.
Bad experience.
Sean, please tell us your thoughts on your South Carolina experience. I know I'm just going to give everybody a brief rundown. When Cheese and I talked about it, we talked about our stadium experience, the pregame experience. I think a lot of people, and the more people I talked about it, talked to Sean, they said they enjoyed the experience. They liked the fact that we were able to pregame at a location and walk into the stadium. Mm-hmm. People said they liked the big stadium feel. Obviously, there's some pitch issues. So you would think in a football stadium, they're going to have natural grass. So I don't think that would be an issue if Manchester United built a stadium. I personally thought I would favor the South Carolina stadium experience because I felt SoFi was cold. I felt it was like not soulless, but it was hard to feel everybody, you know, because we were all so sectioned off and it was regimented. And it was cool, even though I was trying to get Cheese to come do some fuckery with me. He didn't want to, but your experience, your experience, Sean, I thought it was going to be better because I like the fact that everybody, seats weren't separated. You could stand up if you want to. Yeah. You could move around. You could, if you know, when you want to get limbs going, you could do that. So yeah. I thought it would be a better stadium, a better football stadium than an NFL stadium. So all that I said was a mouthful. Tell me your experience there.
So pregame was fantastic. So many people were inviting. You know, we turned up to the stadium, went straight to the fan zone area. Can you hear me? Is it good?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. When the team walked into the stadium, it was way better than SoFi.
Yeah, I actually climbed up onto I'll get to that. Let me get to that part. So the pregame for me, you know, because everyone has different experiences to different things. The pregame was fantastic. You know, we turned up to the fan zone. There was about a 40-minute delay, and unfortunately, it was like 90-something degrees there, pure sun.
Wow, I know.
My British white ass does not agree with that. We managed to get in, but they were smart because there were so many people there. They distracted them with bucket hats because everyone was going to the same place. But they weren't too smart for old Chawny boy here. I was the second person to get a bucket hat And then also the second person to get in line for a picture with a fake up. So but it was really good. It was a mix up. The only thing that I wish they'd done is they would have separated the fan zones at the Liverpool and the United one.
Yeah, that I didn't like.
I didn't like that either. You know, because it took away from the experience of being with all the Man United fans. And then, it felt 50-50 for me there. The entire day was either 50-50 Liverpool fans or Man United fans. So it kind of took away from that experience of being around just Man United fans. So we left for a little while, decided to go to the parking area. And I tell you what, they've got some damn good party times down there. So when you want to go tailgate, they actually have built-in electric for you.
Oh, sweet.
So there's like built-in electric stations everywhere, at every single tailgate spot. So we ended up meeting with some fans who were incredible. You know, I did some interviews with them for our show. And they invited us in, they fed us, they gave us alcohol. So that whole experience was really good for me. And the reason why it was so good for me is because that's kind of what I was there for. I wasn't really there for the game because I've been fortunate enough to see plenty of Man United games. So it was a preseason game. I was enjoying watching it with the people who I'm very close with, who've never seen a Man United game before.
Yeah. We're like ambassadors, Sean. We're ambassadors. Yeah.
Ambassadors. And like I was, what happened before was more important to me than the game. So we'll jump back onto what you were talking about earlier. Getting into the Man United fans going into the Man United players, should I say. I do apologize, everyone. It is 3 a.m. here where I'm at right now.
Salute.
So getting into the stadium, the players coming in was amazing. So it's right off the road. The Man United players were just going to come in. I'm going to try and find a picture for you real quick. So I managed to climb up onto a wall and that's where the players came in.
I love that when the players came off the bus and I just saw Reds everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And SoFi didn't offer that.
Yeah.
So to me, that's another advantage to the college stadium. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was nice. And, you know, I got up the wall. Getting down the wall was a little bit of a
challenge.
I'm 40 years old. Getting up a wall is pretty easy. Getting down it is not so easy. But getting into going into the game, we were pretty far up. I believe that they announced that game actually was the largest stadium soccer match in U.S. history. It had
really,
the attendance was over 76,000. It was more than Old Trafford.
I don't want to be the party pooper.
Real Madrid and you might have the record.
I thought the one at Ann Arbor was over 100,000.
Yeah, I thought they said Real Madrid, Man U had the biggest attendance.
I think it was a stadium record. They announced something.
It might have just been a college football, Well, I was a little tipsy at the time. So yeah. It was the largest something.
You're fine. It was
the largest something there.
Yeah.
And I definitely know it was the largest soccer game in Georgia history and South Carolina history.
South Carolina, yeah.
How big was that stadium? 80,000?
Yeah, there was 76,000 there.
That's good numbers, bro.
Yeah. Dude,
they did one here in San Diego. They didn't fill up 30,000.
It was. Nope. It was really good. The only thing, because you were talking about atmosphere earlier, there was no atmosphere from Man United fans at the stadium.
No chanting, no nothing.
No chant. Now, to be fair, we ended up losing the game for 3-0, but that's the later stage of the game. You know, was even when we were it was 0-0, there was zero chanting that I could hear. Liverpool fans, as noxious as they are, were very clear. You could hear their chants from the other side of the stadium from where I was at. So I was a little disappointed at that. Especially coming from, you know, that the United section, because I know a lot of supporters clubs were over in that section. Unfortunately, I wasn't, but I know the Man United supporters group was there, and they I wasn't hearing anything. The halftime show was incredible. I wish English clubs would do that. You know, playing Darude Sandstorm and blowing off fireworks was just incredible. And then back into the second half of the game, it was just back to, you know, nothing, you know, watching Man United get tore apart in the second half. But we'll jump on that after this. But for me, overall, just me, and like even the day before, you know, the game, you know, being out in a bar with all the presidents from the Man United supporters group was such a great experience for me. You know, having getting numbers from all the presidents, you know, having pictures with them. It was just such a great experience for me that the game overall just didn't matter to me. It was more about that camaraderie and getting to know
Thank
people.
You, Sean.
Yeah.
So. No, I'm sorry, because Cheese and them was like, oh, you're not watching the game. I was watching the game. I was just mingling. I was talking to some of the paddock guys as yourself, trying to get some advice. McCullough's a sweet, Adam McCullough's a G.
Oh my God, he's such a nice guy.
He remembered me from Vegas. He's like, oh, you're the lad from Vegas. Because me and him had a little party thing going on. But anyway, not going to put him out there. So I enjoyed it. I was trying to meet Reds from all over. If it's just a real United match, I'm locked in. I'm there. It's preseason. Back to the match, though. I thought the first half we battered them. I thought we should have had about 3 goals on them.
Put your chances away.
I would say for the first 20 minutes, I think we were pretty good, you know. But when you've got Johnny Evans and, you know, who was at the back with him?
Lindelof, I think.
You got Johnny Evans and Lindelof as your back two. You're going to get beat. I don't care who you're playing. You're going to get beat. So you're right. We played well. Again, Mason Mount is really looking impressive this, you know, preseason.
What about Rashford?
No.
I think he's looking sharp.
I thought Rashford was good for the first 10 minutes and then just disappeared again.
Yeah, he did
Sancho
fall off.
Can't go to PSG quick enough. I think he's atrocious. He was so bad that in the second half, he walked out, like, they were getting drinks and he walked over right in front of me. And I literally said to him, and I know he heard me, I said, why don't you fuck off back to Dortmund?
Oh, for Sancho?
Yeah. I know he heard me because he kind of turned his head sideways. So I know he heard me. He is atrocious in the Premier League. Like, I don't know what it is with him.
In American football, we would say he just has no burst. He's not going to blow past nobody. I think Sancho's real position to me is a midfielder because he just doesn't have the burst on the wing. Like Garnacho will blow past. Ahmad will go past somebody. I honestly don't see where Sancho fits in our lineup.
According to
I really don't.
False nine.
Striker.
Well, yeah, but... Guys, when we watched that match, what were we missing? We were missing someone in the box.
Because
there was we're crossing more. Mm-hmm. There's crosses coming in, but there's nobody there to receive it. I saw Collier. He was like, fuck it. Let me do a Scotty. Let me start crashing the box.
Yeah.
So when that starts happening, it's a little bit concerning. Speaking on Sancho today, they said that PSG still in talks. They actually talked to United about him. I hope they bring Ugarte in that deal. We'll get into that a little bit more. But, yeah, Sancho, I mean, coming to that game, I was not happy with Sancho.
The
injury situation, we're back at it again.
Yeah.
I mean, our guy Fish, serious injury, but we didn't expect him to play. Johnny Evans got hurt, or he got an illness.
You got illness, yeah.
Harry left at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm missing some other injuries. Aaron Wan-Bissaka got hurt. Let me ask you about Aaron Wan-Bissaka, gentlemen. We were in. He's in the talks to go to West Ham and secure this deal. I was shocked to see him still playing at the 82nd minute of the preseason match.
You were shocked.
Now, I was being negative Nancy with my friends, and I was like, if he gets hurt, the deal with West Ham is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And the only team that buys injured players is us guys. Mm-hmm. I was so concerned. I was like, why are we still playing him? He doesn't need to show us he can do slide tackles. We know everything he can show us in that match. We already know.
No, we're familiar.
I would have put him on ice. Like, you know what? Nah, don't even play, bro, because you might be leaving Monday. So don't even play. So that was a bit concerning. I was a little disappointed in Ineos about that on our management. I just didn't understand, but I guess his injury's not serious because West Ham is still in for him, and I think they won. They like the 18 mil, but you know what the problem is? The weekly wages. He doesn't want to come down off the weekly wages we pay him.
So let's go again.
Let's go. I don't know if we could talk about what Mikey was beefing about. I guess he didn't like the high seats, but I feel every support group had high seats because we had them too.
Yeah, we had.
We won't get into that.
Yeah. No, we had high seats, but I was just smart enough to run all the way down onto the 50-yard line.
Dude, at any game
I go to, if I got shit seats, for the first 10 minutes, I scout, and I'm like, oh, there's a big section there. I'm going to go sit
in
there.
Test the security. Yeah. And what I learned about SoFi security, they thought I was a Manchester United fan. They're like, oh, go down there. That's your people. Go down there. It was me and a... Shout out to Santa Barbara Reds. Pretty H. Sean? Oh, no, y'all all married. Let me stop. Anyway, so let's go into these transfer talks and all that and injuries. Right now, it seems like we're at a... Everything's kind of paused right now. Everyone here loves Ugarte, but it seems like PSG's not coming down from the price. We've actually put it out there. We're going to move away from him. I mean, that's what negotiations are going to do. If we don't like the 60, we should move away. At least attempt to act like you don't care. Don't be like Woodward and be like, oh.
Pay the tax.
What we used to do back in the day is if they wanted 60, we held it out. Next thing we wake up, oh, United bought him for 75.
Yeah.
You know? So I think a lot of people are concerned and worried that we're not going to get a midfielder. No, we're behaving like a club that understands their financial restraints, and that's fine. The big thing is, I think what Ineos, and I think you guys can chime in on this, Ineos is finding that it's hard to get these men to leave.
Yes.
I think it just came out that Scotty's not... Like, Fulham is cooling on Scotty now.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia doesn't even want cash. Anthony, MLS squad wants him. We still have Pelletri on the books.
Pelletri's better than Anthony.
Say that again, Sean?
Better than Anthony.
Pelletri's better than Anthony.
Pelletri is far better than Anthony. I think Anthony... I said it a couple of days ago, and I don't want to be mean. And I feel like he might be, I'm just going to say, one of our worst signings I've ever seen. For the simple fact, he came in that game, and he looked like trash.
I've never seen a player so bad up front in my life.
I mean, what is going on, Sean? Jeez,
I just don't know.
Brazilian, man? Or is it when they come to Manchester United, they just forget that they're Brazilian?
No,
I don't know. I think it's more to do with when you come to, you know, Gary Neville and that lot say best, you know, when you go to Liverpool, you know, the fans, not that Man United fans don't embrace players, but when you go to Man United, the first words that usually come out of a guy's mouth is he a United player?
Is he a United player? Yeah,
that's the first thing that comes out of a United fan's mouth. And, you know, if that's coming out your mouth straight away, then you know what the pressure is like on a player. Now, a player's either going to cook, you know, or he's going to go in the trash. And it just looks like Anthony's just, you know, got too much salt and is now being put in the trash. So
it can be a big adjustment because you go in there, you walk around, you see our area with all the statues and trophies and the greats. That's intimidating.
Yeah.
When you come to United, you have 500,000 followers, and then immediately it jumps up to 3 million. It's intimidating.
Yeah, and you have one bad game, and you know that $3 million is now on your ass.
And then the media is unforgiving. The media is unforgiving. Yeah. You have to be a strong player, confident in yourself, in your abilities, to know you're going to still want to be courageous out there. I just feel like Anthony's not courageous because you know why? He does the same thing. He doesn't try to do something different. And he's just not a Manchester United player. Let's not talk about Anthony too much. So let's go back to Ugarte. Let's go back to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Let's go to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I want to ask you guys about that. Is it concerning that the clubs, both clubs, are okay with the fee, but he still wants more? He wants his weekly wages close to what he wants.
Yeah.
Do you want to go concerning first? Or are we used to it?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Is it actually concerning or are we used to it? Because like these guys don't want to give up their wages.
Yeah. I mean, and I had one of my friends in the chat group today, my Jibs chat group. They were like, "I'm gonna start saying Ineos out in a minute. How? Ineos has to fix a mess of a mess."
Yeah, this is not Ineos' fault in any way.
Yeah. It's not Ineos' fault.
Yeah. Now, I will say the one part of Ineos needs to do here, and I don't agree with what Chelsea has done, selling their players for profit, their young players, to pay for. But I like what they're doing. They said to Conor Gallagher, you leave, or you play in the reserves. That's what United need to be doing now.
Yeah.
You leave or you play in the reserves.
Kind of how we did our Boris Schweinsteiger.
Yeah.
Which was so hurtful to me.
Disrespectful.
You know, you have to make it a deterrent. You have to make it rough. You have to make it, you just don't reward them. Be like, okay, you stay in the first team. No.
But the problem with Wan-Bissaka is he's more likely to do that because this is his last year of his contract. He is he doesn't want to go to West Ham and lose that money. What he's asking is the same as what Harry Maguire asked for last year. I will leave, but you need to pay a percentage of my wages.
Is he frozen? Oh.
Am I good?
Who, me?
You're back.
What happened?
Oh, I'm back. I might have frozen for a minute. Harry Maguire said last year, I will leave, but you need to pay a percentage of my wages to compensate me for leaving. Whereas players have so much power now compared to back in the day.
Yeah.
To take the power back, you need to treat that player like, well, you don't want to leave, then you're going to go train with the reserves and you're not going to have a dressing room. And it needs to be like that now. Like, I believe clubs need to start taking the power back from the players because these players have got way too much power. And at the end of the day, I think we're starting to see the end of it, especially with Ineos coming in now. It's like, you're not having big wages. So when it's time to sell in the future, because I think people like Cass, Scott, those are the sort of players that are going to go, well, I'm not leaving, I'm on too much money.
Yeah.
I think we might have an issue with Anthony there too.
He's making bank. But the thing is, you gotta, these guys are not thinking in the future. For example, let's give you two examples. Guys who didn't leave when they had opportunities to leave, or they still want high wages. Nobody signed Anthony Martial.
No.
Nobody signed David De Gea.
Nope.
I hear Florentina is interested in, but someone else wanted to sign David 3 weeks ago, and they're like, he wants the same wages as he was at United. Yep. David, no. You were making more than strikers. You were making more money than Salah. No. You can't.
He probably did deserve it.
they're entitled. They feel like this is what's going on. And
yeah,
we have a bunch of those guys. Now, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, if he thinks, okay, I'm going to hold out and go into my last year, he's going to have a reality check when this last season is done. Because he might get a shot from, he might get someone from the division below, from the championship, and be like, oh, well, this is what you're going to get, bro. Wrexham, what do you want?
A bigger club might come in like Galatasaray or something like that. But they are going to be able to offer him better wages because obviously there's no transfer fee. But you're also running the risk of the fact that you haven't played for an entire year and trained in the reserves and you have an attitude problem. So is one of the other big clubs going to pick you up for that?
Dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. I mean, this is your career.
You should just be a professional. Do the right thing. Yeah.
If I would play for Man United, you know, for 5 years and Man United will, you know, hey, look, we're wanting to move you on. I'd be like, okay. No, where am I going next? For me, it's about playing. You know, it's all about playing. It's not about
the money. It's all about playing.
Yeah.
It's not about playing anymore. You know, I'm an older generation. Now it's all about the dollar signs and the clickbait on Instagram.
Yeah, and you both said it. Player control is out of control. They really truly believe their brands are bigger than their game.
Yeah.
And they forget, no. Your game is Regal Rye. You have a brand. I mean, Sancho, for another reason, I mean, if I was Jadon Sancho, I'd be like, listen, whoever wants me, if it's a team that can be in the Champions League, I'm out. Because yeah. Obviously this is not, they don't get it. You're not wanted here.
Yeah.
We are trying.
Well, he knows that some fans don't want it, man.
He heard you.
Yo, he heard it.
He heard you.
You know, Sancho's a weird one, like how he divides opinion. I mean, you have those guys who are like, I guess you can say they're Team Sancho. I don't get it at all.
No.
Because they act like Erik ten Hag is the reason why he's got labeled with a bad attitude. Pep said fuck off. The national team said fuck off. Dortmund was doing all this big praise. Oh, we love him. Why didn't you take
him
back?
We don't want to pay him. We love him, but we don't want to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Because this game doesn't match.
Have the balls to put on their page another player holding up the number 10, which Jadon Sancho saw on Instagram. They signed him as the 10. They put his jersey number up on Instagram to troll.
That had to have sucked. So here we are in another preseason. Transfer window ends August 30th.
End of the month, okay.
We signed Euro. We signed Josh Mazursky. We still need a midfielder. People have been giving Casemiro a lot of praise. I think I told a lot of people, chill out. Go ahead, Chief.
Question. I know you're talking about Casemiro, but with Rasmus injured, does Zerski start on Friday? Is he ready?
I mean, Saturday. We play Community
Saturday. Saturday.
No, I don't think he does. I think he starts Sancho in the false nine.
Ooh, okay.
I feel it. I mean,
I don't want to watch the game Saturday. I have a feeling we're going to get hammered.
I'm concerned.
I've had some friends who've watched a lot more preseason of other teams than I have.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend up north who said he's seen City play, and he says they look sharp.
To be fair, they had most of their players back, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Sean, you're right. And all this is in play, but you know how Pep runs a tight ship. You know, it's Pep's way or the highway. I have concerns about this game this weekend. I've been asking everybody. Oh, since we're here, is it a community shield or a charity shield? Because
it is now called the community shield, but you think it was formerly the charity shield.
I've been asking everybody, and I'm going to ask you two. My question has been to all the Reds I talk to. How overblown, win or lose, is this match going to be?
It is not a fucking trophy. It is not a trophy.
And I'm not talking about that, Sean. Are you talking about
if Man United get beat 4-0?
I'm talking about media reaction. I'm talking about supporters' reaction. I'm talking about Twitter. And it's going to be a shitstorm if we lose, especially if we get battered. I don't want to accept getting battered. Sean, Cheese, I'm not going to bring that out there.
You better hope they figured out that defensive press by Saturday.
It's not even the defensive press. It's the back four.
Yeah, there's no one there.
Oh, like a healthy back four.
Yeah, who's going to play?
Fair.
I will throw the biggest party when Harry Maguire and Lindelof is no longer a centre-back pairing at Manchester.
We didn't even talk about Lindelof.
I will get fireworks going off. Bitches will think it's 4th of July. I'm going to throw the biggest goddamn house party when that happens. Because we are talking Jose Mourinho era. We've had 3 managers since then, and we are back to Harry Maguire and Lindelof.
As the this starting
is
two.
Insane yeah. that we have this as a back two now. And then, actually, say Dalot doesn't play, which is a high possibility, and they play Wan-Bissaka, right? So you've got Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka. That's the same back four that Solskjaer was playing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was watching our preseason game, and I was like, oh, this lineup gives me vibes of last year. This is last year vibes.
It gives me vibes of 3 years. Like, this is Ten Hag's 3rd year at Man United, and we're playing the same back four as Solskjaer was.
Yes.
Six years ago.
I know a lot of people don't like this gentleman. His name is Mark Goldbridge. And he said, whatever other manager have you ever heard can't build his team because there's still guys on his team from 2 managers ago and he can't get rid of them.
And what people don't put that in consideration. The pages, though. That's the problem.
We got people from LVG playing.
He's right. And first off, go fuck yourself, my Goldbridge.
Yeah.
I put it out there. You want to be part of the banner? Yeah, I put it out there to be part of the banner, and he turned it down. You know, because he's a real Man United fan, right? I'm not a Forest fan.
Dude, he's an opportunist.
Yeah, he's great at what he does. But at the end of the day, when you come on a show and you call yourself Mark Goldbridge, and that's not your real name, you're already starting on a bad foot. You know, lying to your fans already. But with that though. What other team has had to deal with Glazers, and not just the Glazers, but also the bad appointments that he set, where he's hiring bankers to sign players? So we are in a position now where it's we found the rot in the wood, and we're fixing it. But like Sir Jim said, this isn't going to be an overnight fix. It's going to take 2 or 3 summers to get these players out, get back to, how we're playing. Like, I love what we've done in the window so far. I'm 100% convinced that we will have a new centre-back and a new right-back on our team in the next 3 weeks. Midfielder, I'm not 100% convinced,
Me neither.
Because I don't see Scotty leaving. I don't see Casemiro leaving. And Casemiro was absolutely atrocious against Liverpool. He got done like a duck. It was embarrassing.
And, don't mean to interrupt. People are telling me he came back fit. He looks good.
He did.
Yeah, but he's still slide-tacking all over the place.
And he's still old and has lost a few steps. Like, he's getting done up in the middle.
And
we actually brought people closer to him. It almost looked like we were doing a double pivot.
And he's Collier, especially. Collier's helping him out, covering.
Collier is going to play a pivotal role at Man United this year. And I strongly believe that Amas is going to.
I think Amas is too.
Amas, though, I don't think he's ready. I think Collier's more ready than Amas.
Watching
that game, because Amas played right in front of me in the second half. And that third goal at Liverpool was all on Amas.
He got
turned bad.
And also he's so young, right? It's like those are the things he's gonna learn along the way.
Learn the decision making like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's 100% ready to be a first team player. I think he's great for 20 minutes a game or FA Cup games, Carabao Cup games. He's gonna learn the trade this year, and I think he's gonna be a great player. He's just not 100% there yet. His decision making was a little off.
Yeah.
Especially at the third goal, where you clearly see the player was going to come inside. For some reason, he decided to go on the outside, and the player just
And that's just experience.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, that's stuff you can get away in the youth level where you're dominating a guy, and then that guy will mentally like, oh man, I'm not going to get past this guy. But Premier League guys are always going to try you. Try for weakness, and I think that'll come. Too.
Yeah.
But he's 17 years old. We're asking a 17. I mean, Lenny Euro is what, 19?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're still asking a lot of him. I mean, some people feel that he's ready. But you got to figure if we have a veteran guy there, well, you don't have to put so much pressure on him. You know, listen, I know I have my reservations about DeLitt, but he is so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
To this team's success.
As long as DeLitt can stay healthy for the first 2 months, you know, well, 3 months, should I say, until Euro's back. You know, with Euro having the surgery yesterday. You know, I think it's a great signing for Man United. Is it going to, with him being only 24, is it going to impede Euro? No, I don't believe it is. I think they're going
to. Not at all.
I think it's going to give the ability to take Martinez out and not force Martinez to play so many games. I know they both play on the right, but I believe that one of them can switch over to the left for at least a game. And Matthijs de Ligt's 24, and we all know that Euro's not going to be at Man United in 5 years' time. Yeah. So
it's, did you guys see who Newcastle signed for 60?
No, who they signed?
Your England center back, Gay.
From Crystal Palace.
They signed him.
Newcastle signed him for 60.
That's a great deal.
Yeah.
It's a great deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at Ineos. I'm just like, that guy was, to me, one of the bright spots for England.
And mm-hmm. Crystal Palace.
But Newcastle are the richest club in the world.
Yeah.
Facts. But if we didn't have debt, we could still spend more money than Newcastle because we bring in more money. So that's talking about building a new stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. What drives me insane is just looking at the years and years of bad, you know, transfer windows. You know, bringing in Casemiro, I know Ronaldo's a legend, but I think it was a bad thing bringing him back. We had him stop him from going to City, but I think overall it was a bad signing. You know, the Lindelofs, you know, the Sanchos, the Anthonys. You think of
Isn't it crazy when you see Victor Lindelof play, you're like, oh shit, you're still on the team.
Yeah.
He's like that dude when you go to the party, you'd be like, okay, hit me. I got these three dudes. Oh shit, I forgot my boy. Yeah. He's with my boy's cousin.
The one thing I think with Lindelof though is I don't think he's going to do what Aaron Wan-Bissaka is going to do. I think he's a proper footballing kid that just wants to play. And I think if a bid comes in for him, he's actually going to accept it and say, "Hey, look, I'm going to go do my training for us. Yeah, I want to play." Yeah.
But you guys, she's had a great question, and we didn't answer it. Our striker situation right now is bleak again.
It is. You know, Hoyland's only out for what, two games? The first two games,
I believe. Yeah, so. That's what it's projected as. Yeah.
So you're looking at the Community Shield this weekend. You're looking at Fulham. Do you know what? I know Zerski just got back, but he played a lot last year. So I'm not understanding what the issue is with putting him in the first team.
Yeah,
I don't know this either because he's been. Remember, he's been back at Carrington as long as we've been in the U.S.
Yeah.
Training.
What I don't understand is why he didn't go out for the last two games.
Eric Ten Hag said this week he's going to evaluate what players, and he said everybody's open. Licha, he said he's going to evaluate everybody this week and see who plays. Is there anybody you would say I don't want him to play yet?
Yeah, Licha.
Absolutely. Me too.
Fucking instantly.
Me
leave,
too.
Leave him to the Premier League.
Yeah. Leave him to the Premier League.
Yeah, you could keep the preseason cats. Like all these cats that you've been working with in the US tour for preseason, you can literally start them against City and save them against City and then bring Premier League. Yeah.
Because if you bring Licha on right now, who isn't match fit for the entire game, dude, that's insane. To win a trophy that really doesn't matter?
Yeah.
I know City will celebrate it like it's, you know, we just won World War II, but, you know.
I'm going to put Luke Shaw in there, too. If Eric Ten Hag said, listen, I don't give a fuck about this shit, I'm
shout everybody go out there and have fun.
Yeah. Youngsters, go have fun, have a day out, and just come in the preseason. The press conference, presser, like, I don't give a shit. I ain't playing my guy.
Yeah, it was like, we're ready for Fulham. Next question.
I'll salute him. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I would enjoy it. I'll be like, fuck it, let's go. Just another day at the bar. But Leach is one guy, and Luke Shaw is somebody I think we're going to have to watch because
if Luke Shaw gets injured right now, we are screwed.
At this current moment in time, all we have is Shaw and Harry. Mm. And think about that.
We got Amas. Yeah.
So I see that he brought up some more youngsters to train with the first team this week. So hopefully he takes the professional. Don't get caught up in the moment, Eric. Don't get caught up in with the media and the press and. Everybody's it's a day out. Don't get caught up. Just relax. Take a deep breath. We'd rather have a healthy squad for Fulham. And I really hope he has that approach. I would like to see Josh Wazerski play, though. I really would.
I would like to see Wazerski really play the first 20 minutes.
Now, would you put him at the center forward and Rashford on the left and have Ahmad?
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels about right. I don't see Garnacho playing either because he just got back into town, but he's young. You never know. You never know. Our midfield is the question though.
Yeah.
What midfield?
Yeah, we still got Eriksen. Y'all ever think about that?
Do you know, like at the beginning of the year, everyone's talking like, "Oh, we need to get rid of Casemiro. We need to get rid of this." Why was no one talking about we need to get rid of a 33-year-old? Let me say this right. They announced it on the tannoy or whatever it is in South Carolina. Our midfield for that game had a combined age of 64 years old.
Oof.
Yep.
Why you do that to me?
Two players. Not the four players. Yeah. 64. That's insane.
Insane.
I saw another crazy stat that under Erik ten Hag's tenure, including this preseason, we're averaging 1.4 injuries a match.
That's wild. A match, not like every three matches. Per match, 1.4.
And with a 3-week time frame.
Yep.
Can you believe that?
I'm starting to feel that it's not the doctor, not so much 100% on the doctors. Are they? I think he might be overtraining.
And this is going to be our last topic because we got about 7 minutes. I agree with you, Sean, because something ain't right.
No.
I'm watching every other team come out here in the USA and play, and there's no problems.
Mm-mm. Not dropping like flies.
I mean. And people who watch our practices say they're busting their ass. They're busting their ass, and I don't know. I don't want to say Erik ten Hag might be pressing them too hard, but he could.
And literally pressing, literally press. Like when I was at open practice, like all they did was press drills. And you hear Rude and the assistants being like, "Press, press." Like, that's literally
well, that's all crazy because when you watch the game, it they only works for 10 minutes. First. Yeah,
10 minutes, and then they're winded and they can't maintain.
Yeah,
I think in reality, we have to just soak in the reality of the season coming up and realize that yes, we started off the transfer window fine, we got some guys in, we still need some more work, but there's gonna be a lot of old faces still hanging around. I don't see Casemiro leaving. I don't see Scotty leaving. I like Harry to say, at this moment, I don't see. I would tell Anthony, listen, you're not even with the first team no more.
Dude, he got hooked. You know, he got hooked against in San Diego. Everyone was like, oh, he's injured. I instantly knew he wasn't injured. Everyone was talking about his hand. Well, first off, you took the bandage off your hand and threw it on the floor. So why are you even wearing the bandage in the first place? He didn't get hooked. He was in training the next day, and then he played against Liverpool.
So where are you going to be watching the game this weekend, Sean?
I'm going to be watching it in a pub in England.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I'm in England until Sunday. So.
Nice. I'm tripping. Forgive me, Sean. Yeah. I'm so selfish and I only think about my life.
What time is it?
It gets like that. Cheese and I will be at the pub, O'Brien's. It will be packed.
7 a.m.
It's going to be, and this is what scares me, it's going to be an atmosphere.
7 a.m.
All I can say to every Red, if you're watching this and you watch this later, just take a deep breath. This is a huge marathon, and this is not even the start of the marathon. Mm-hmm. Fulham, then you can judge the team. But I just hope and pray that Eric Ten Hag goes in this match thinking about the season, not saying I want to beat them. And I know there's going to be pressure because it's going to be buildup. Mm-hmm. From Thursday on, it's going to be buildup. And we know it. We know it's going to be a massive buildup. Those ESPN jerks are going to, if United doesn't do this, you know, I just can't deal with them.
I don't even watch ESPN, even when the game is on ESPN.
No, I don't. I don't. I can't do it. Like,
I turn the sound off.
Right. I like it in Spanish, actually. But
there's a lot of free apps out there where you can listen to free radio all over the world. And you know, I will listen to it on, you know, Talk Sport in the UK rather than ESPN.
Yeah, when you say Talk Sport is better than them, which they are, it's crazy. Okay, so what did you like to see in this match? We got a couple of minutes left. What would you like to see?
Cheesy, you go. You haven't.
I want it to appear like we have a plan and the players know what they're doing. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see, like, players and Ten Hag on the same page, regardless of results. Like, I want to see togetherness. That's what I want to see.
Fight.
Very disjointed in the past.
I want to see one thing. No injuries.
Oof, wow.
Fuck, yeah.
That's actually Sean, a lot. I like it.
Sean, I will kiss your face. I have so much trauma right now over injuries. I mean, I'm even looking at people we look at, and the first thing we're looking at him. I go to the transfer market thing. Let me see their injury record. Let me go see their injury record because I can't see no more. Like, I'm Mazzarri. I'm just like, boy, Mazzarri. I'm like, he's been hurt a lot. And you know, everybody's like, oh, he'll be fine. I said, you know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Something ain't right.
You watch it. It's going to be the players that are hurt a lot come in. They're not going to get hurt.
We haven't even got any fullbacks in. I think about where we're lacking, and you know one thing, we're looking for Kobe to do something, but you know next year in the Premier League they're gonna be like, go at him, don't watch this kid parade. Kobe's gonna be under pressure next year. And we got to be ready for him to have some tough matches, because if you're playing against Manchester United, I know the first thing Pep is going to say, go over there, tackle this kid, even if he doesn't have the ball, put a hand on him, make his life hard, because he's really the glue. And these veterans like Casemiro. Last question. I forgot to ask y'all. Do you play Bruno?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
False nine.
Mm-hmm. False nine. Yep.
All right.
They won't. They'll play Jadon Sancho there.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you want to do a prediction, Sean?
Lastly. 3-1 Man City.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I just don't think we're gonna play all of our top players, and I think City already has their top players back.
Yeah, they're already situated.
Even with selling Alvarez for 80 million today, they still have so many.
Can you believe that?
No, I think it's a great deal.
Great deal.
We had the opportunity to sign him for 8 million, and the Glazers said no.
There's a lot of people we could have bought. If we would have listened to Ralph Ragnick, we'd be sweet right now.
Oh, yeah. Ragnick wanted him, but there we go.
All right, well, we got a minute. I want to thank you guys for joining me. Sean, salute. Have a good time over there in the UK.
Thank you.
Cheese, I see you with your Jamaican thing on.
Happy Jamaican
Independence Day, Cheese.
We'll take out the box.
Salute to Mikey. Bandito, Jeremy, they're all out. But I can't wait to this. Even though it's a Charity Cup Shield thing, I'm excited.
Yeah. United on penalties.
Yeah, if we win on penalties, we're going to win the league. Now you're going to believe us. Guys, thank you. Have a great evening.
Get some rest. Enjoy the rest of England.
This is another one of those Casarex shows. We are out. Thank you, Sam. You guys.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.